here is on the Maasim and Aleph that the Gemara was trying to figure out whether the idea of getting married to Yesh Shliya is just the people of Mitzvah Yotzei Mishlucha, whether it's worse than that. So the Gemara quoted a possibility that maybe it's even worse than that. Also, the other Shekash is Shashi Rena. The reason why a person is not allowed to get married to a woman before he sees her is because we're afraid the marriage may not work out, and then it's going to be a violation of the Hafil Rena and Kamoko. So there is a Shukot Hadesh, and we're talking about a very, very important Shaila. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's a Shaila that comes up on mic, a Shaila we try to avoid, but sometimes it happens. And one of his basic thrusts of the Shuva based on this Gemara. The Shaila is as follows. What's the halacha if a parent insists that a child not marry a single person? The parent wants you to marry a clonist, and the person doesn't want to marry a clonist, he wants to marry another clonist. So what's the halacha? Does the mitzvah kibud av v'aim require of the child to listen to the parent, to marry who the parent is insisting on? Very, very important Shaila. The Maharik writes that that the child is not the chuyif to the parent. The mitzvah kibud av v'aim doesn't require the child to listen to the parent when it comes to marriage. And the Maharik suggests a whole series of different reasons why that's so. So one of the reasons that the Maharik gives is based on Agam Mazda. The Gemara tells us in the Sefer Zevamos that if a parent tells a child to violate an aveira, so the child is not supposed to listen to the parent. The Maharik says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro. Before says, why does the Chumash juxtapose the mitzvah kibud av v'aim and the mitzvah shmir Shabbos? So the end of the pasuk says, Ani Hashem. So what does that mean, Ani Hashem? So the Gemara says that kulchem chiyavim bechvaydi, that Ani Hashem is the most important thing in a person's life. Even if a parent tells you to violate an aveira, even if a parent tells you to be mechal Shabbos, so now the person has a dilemma. On the one hand, ishim rabbi yavim tiro, he wants to listen to his parents. On the other hand, yashab sasek tishmo, the Torah says an outline of the dimma lachat Shabbos. So what do you do? The Pasuk says, Ani Hashem, you have to listen to me. That's what the Gemara says. That's the mafah. Hashem, that's the mafah that a parent doesn't have a right to tell a child to do an aveira, and the parent does, so the child is not supposed to listen to the parent. So the Maharik writes that when a parent tells a child not to get married, so he's telling the child to do something that's against the Torah, as if it's for getting married. So we'll do. Kiga, let's get married. So the Rambam writes that let's say a parent tells a child not to do the tzaseh, not to do it like the case that the Gemara gives, that a parent tells a child to do an aveira. But the parent tells the child, don't put on tefillin today, so the Rambam says, you're also not allowed to listen to the parent. That's also included in the Hashem. Kuchem chayavim bechvodi. So the Maharik writes that if the parent tells the child not to get married, so the parent is telling the child to not listen to Rabbanu Shalom. So the Maharik has to tell himself, what does that mean? The Dishlom of the parent tells the child not to get married at all, so then that's like telling the child not to put on tefillin. So then the parent tells the child not to have children. So that's against the halacha, so the parent doesn't have a right to tell the child that. So if that's for the man and the parent, I don't want to get married, I want to take care of you all the time. So the parent clearly doesn't have jurisdiction in that area. But here the parent does not tell the child not to get married. The parent says, I'm going to make the wedding the nicest hotel possible. We're going to give you everything if you're married, if you don't like it for you. And the guy says, I don't want to marry that girl, I don't want to marry this girl. So why is that called why is that considered to be the parent telling the child to do an aveira? The Maharik quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says that a person has to marry, they want to marry. If a person marries someone they don't want to marry, they're just marrying it because the kibud av v'aim tells them to marry. So, Shemet is Kanala, the Vavik is Kanala, the Ditzim is Afta, the Havar of Kamotha, so they'll either be aveira, they're going to get into fights all the time, they're going to get divorced. So, that's going to be an aveira. So, therefore, the Maharik says that a parent not only doesn't have a right to tell a child not to marry at all, but a parent doesn't have a right to tell a child which you're to marry either. And one of the rights is, in fact, the Gemara. The Gemara goes into two other reasons why the parent doesn't have the authority to demand that a child listen in the realm of marriage. So one of the reasons the Maharik writes is that the Gemara tradition has a machlekes west to pay for kibud av v'aim. Kibud av v'aim shel av, is kibud av v'aim shel ben. So let's say a parent calls a child and says, I want you to come and pick me up and drive me around, take me to the airport, take care of everything. So who pays the tolls? Who pays the gas? So that's a very, very relevant question. As Mara said, so who's supposed to foot the bill? So let's say the child's got to drive for 3 hours, so he's got to take out a mortgage in order to afford a tank of gas. So who has to pay? So the Gemara has a machlokes about that. Where the kibud av v'aim is mishal av, that the child is mechuyev to give service to the parent, but the child is not mechuyev to lay out the money for the parent. And the other day the Gemara said, no, the Kibra Abayim is until then. That part of the Mitzvah Kibra Abayim requires the child even to lay out the money, the same way I have to lay out money for build the sukkah, to lay out money to buy matzah, to lay out money to buy tzotz, to lay out money for Kibra Abayim. So we have in the past in Mishal'ah, we pass in that the child need not pay the money for Kibra Abayim. But we shouldn't just say, to listen, it's their mother to lend the money, but then it could be that the halacha changes. That's a different story. But if the parent has money, so based on the normal circumstances, the child is not looking to lay out money for Kibra Abayim. So the Maharit says, but if you're not looking to lay out financially, so Kama Chomei, not looking to lay out physical pain, not looking to lay out emotional pain, psychological stress, that's even more important than the money. People spend a lot of money in order to alleviate psychological suffering. So the Maharit says that for a guy to marry a girl who doesn't want to marry, so that's worse than all the money in the world. So he's not looking to lay out $100 to go take care of his parents. So Kama Chomei's not looking to lay out a lifetime of psychological pain and to listen to what the parents are saying. That's the second svar. It's a different svar. Nothing to do with the Gemara Memalah, but the second svar. Then the Maharit gives the third svar, that who says that a child is encouraged to listen to the parents when it's not relevant to the parents. Because if a parent calls me and says, please pick me up and take me to the airport, that's Kibra Abayim. The Gemara says, confusion, you have to help them get the run out. So if they're older, they have to lean on you. Maybe they don't have to lean on you, so you have to drive them around. Or you have to be a malbisha, you have to help them get dressed, or a machilo, you have to help them eat if they need service. So whenever the parent needs something, the mother calls and says, I need you to come and help me, I don't know, fix up something in the house, or that's service, not commits a few God. But let's say the parent makes a request to the child, it's nothing to do with the parent. Let's say the parent calls you up and says that I want you to wear a sweater. I want you to wear a coat. The child, I don't want to wear a coat. What does it have to do with you whether I wear a coat or not? So is that a mitzvah Kibra Abayim? That's a mitzvah Kibra Abayim. It's a mitzvah Kibra Abayim. It's a mitzvah Kibra Abayim. That's not Kibra Abayim. Parent has a right to demand of a child to take care of the parent. But if the parent has no right to impose his or her will on the child when it comes to the life decisions of the child. So the parent says to the child, I insist that you become a doctor. I don't want to become a doctor. I want to be, what else do you need? I want to be a science student. I don't want to be a doctor. So the child has a right to do that. It's not clear to look at the parents when it's a decision that's not parent-oriented, but it's a child. Your parents pay the tuition, it's a different story. Okay. But that's a big machlokes on Rishonim. So there are Rishonim who question it. Rishonim would say that the parent and the child may have to listen to the certain circumstances, but not for now. We're not really able to schedule their name on that, maybe another time. So the Maharit throws in the third reason. That if the parent says to the child, I want you to marry this and this girl, not this and this girl, That's like asking the child to put on a coat. That's like asking the child to become a doctor. So the parent doesn't have jurisdiction in that area. That's not what the Mitzvah Kibra Abayim is all about. So these are three totally independent reasons that the Maharit quotes why a child is not looking close to the parent in the realm of power. So one is, that's like, Aviv Amal Olavo Divrei Torah. But you have to touch it up a little bit. It's not enough just to say that it's Aviv Amal Olavo Divrei Torah. It's not really. He's not telling you not to get married. He's telling you not to marry this person. So you have to be bolstered that argument with the Gemara condition Memalah to explain that also full of Lavo de Rivera. More agrees to tell the different reasons that it's Kibra Abayim is Mishalah, not Mishalpeim. The third reason is that Kibra Abayim doesn't require you to do something that's not necessarily service oriented towards the parent. Maybe you might have been able to learn some of the things of Kibra Abayim about the protesting, maybe Tasha Shiva or something. So we'll talk a little bit more. So don't pass the anything based on what we just said right now. So suffice it to say, this is a very, very delicate, sensitive Shiva. Anyone who gets themselves involved in the Shiva, should count that somebody who's a competent rabbi or whatever, count that to try to work out some of these things. So there may be certain times in halacha where, especially in the realm of Kibra Abayim, where the halacha of Kibra Abayim may not apply, the common sense may dictate that it may not be such a good idea to override parents' objections under certain circumstances. So again, it's a very, very delicate child which goes way beyond just pure halacha, beyond tradition of Malvam and Aleph. So no one should draw any conclusions based on what we've said just now. But the only point, the only reason why he quoted this Maharit is because he quotes this Gemara. This Gemara that from Malvam and Aleph is part of his argument in terms of extending the idea of marriage being a target. We're able to begin our sugya. So our Gemara begins with the basic question, Shlichus Menalim. How in the world do you know that there's a principle of Shlichus? And we're not going to say, the Shilach, the Rosh, the Baget, the Shilach, the Lamech, the Shaliach, then the Shilchah, the Lamech, he also Shaliach. So it's a concept of a shuliach lehalachas again, and a concept of shuliach lehabolas again. Rishon of Shulchan, so we show them what exactly the third Rasha is. Malamash is shuliach, also shuliach. And then the Gemara goes on and on and on. You tell me if there's a din of shuliach. There's like Gavish, there's a din of shuliach. There's like Kibish, there's a din of shuliach. There's like Truman, there's a din of shuliach. There's like Kachin. And finally, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, Taka, Shmuel Shalom Kenoiso, is a din that appears in Kola Terakula, basically. Is a din of Shmuel Shalom Kenoiso. Does anybody know, as a basic trivia question, where does the phrase Shmuel Shalom Kenoiso appear in Mishnah? It appears in one place, one mission in the Lord Shabbos, in the beginning of the book. Is that online? Shlichas.com? Where does Shlichas Rabbah also appear? In the mission of the brother, in the fifth
chapter.
Shlichas Tzibor. The mission says that if a person is davening, and sometimes the davening doesn't go so well, but then it's a sin in Rabbah. If it tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it would send that it was not listening to the Tzibor. But if a Shlichas Tzibor is davening, then you also screwed the fifth, doesn't right, that the Sibin Ra of Mishalcha, that they have for the whole Tzibor. Well, I would say, Sheshlucha Shalotim Kiboy Sehu. So the Shalach Tzibor is representing the entire Tzibor, he's one of the same with them. So it's not exactly Shlichas, that's a different type, very, very different type of Shlichas that we're talking about. That phrase, Shluch Shalotim Kiboy Sehu, appears in the Gemara Kedushim Ra, it appears in many places in Shas. The Mishnah is the best way now, that's the only place it appears, and the context that appears, it has nothing to do with regular Shlichas. Anyway, bring that test word. There's a Chiddush HaTayyar Shlichas. To repeat from the Gemara that if we wouldn't have known these Pesukim, not for these Gzeres HaKosu, we never would have thought that's a principle of Shlichas. But Mehechat Tayyar say, that Shluch Shalom Kimoza, Kedah says, you have to give a get to your wife, so if Mehechat Tayyar said a million years, you can appoint somebody else. You have to nafish true, it's your fruit, so Mehechat Tayyar said somebody else can do it. So it's a big Chiddush. From the Bais, it's a Chiddush that's accepted, everybody agrees to it, it's a big Deraisa. Based on a whole series of Sukkot, hopefully we can go through as we go through the Sugya, next couple of Shirim, how exactly Chazal figured out the Maizah, the Shulchan Shalom Kimoza. So then the Rishonim observed that, notwithstanding this Gevaldik Klal, Shulchan Shalom Kimoza, there seems to be one whole area of Halacha which is blatantly missing this principle of Shulchan Shalom Kimoza. And that's what we call in Halacha the Mitzvah Shevagufa. So there's sometimes the Torah tells us that you have to perform a Mitzvah with your very own body. Let's say the example we're going to give, of course, the easiest example to visualize is Harachas Tefillin. Harachas says you have to put Tefillin on your arm and on your head. So, Hayitachay, Shluch Shalom Kimoisa. Maybe the din is that a person, last night I went to a chasa, last night I was very tired, and it was very late. I wouldn't have minded sleeping an extra hour this morning. So, I should have just called somebody up last night and said, do me a favor, go to Shul for me and put a Tefillin for me. I'll get to the yeshiva later. What's wrong? So why can't I put tefillin on my shliach? Or why can't I say the sukkah day shliach? Why can't I go shofar day shliach? Why do you have all the mitzvahs? Shofar was kibbutz after that, that's a little bit confusing. Why are there so many mitzvahs that just intuitively obvious cannot be done on the shliach? What is this all about? This category, the Gemara never used the phrase mitzvah shevagufo, but the Rishonim coined the phrase. So what's this all about? The first one to really address this issue was the Pesus Rid in the Masechet Kedushin. The Pesus Rid itself happens to appear in Daf Nun Beis, but we're going to talk about it now because this sugya mitzvah of Gufa really doesn't have a Gemara on it. That's the problem. It's that the Rishonim assumes it doesn't push it. It's obvious that sugya doesn't work in these kind of cases, and we're trying to put our fingers on why exactly is that true. So how is mitzvah of Gufa different from other concepts of shlichus? So it's hard to find a Gemara to pinpoint this on. That's why before we get into the intricacies of shlichos, let's do the sugya. So the sugya is really, in a certain sense, it's the first of our shlichos sugya. Hopefully there are many more shlichos sugyas in the next couple of weeks. But this is the first one. But this is the one we can't really pin on a Gemara because this is the case where shlichos doesn't apply. So it comes to Tosfos Rid and says, it's a double portion that there's no shlichos in the shlichos group. But why is that? So then Tosfos Rid develops the following Hagadara. It says that find shlichos, one example that we find shlichos, ultimately there's always something that's misyachis back to the mishaleach. Now true, let's say when you have a case of kedushin, so the mishaleach, because he's sleeping right now, but he's not putting the ring on the girl's finger, that's true. But at the end of the day, after the chuppah is over, the chassan has something, we can pinpoint, we can say, what is changing about this chassan? He's accomplished something. What has he accomplished? Now he's a wife. So there's a woman who's mechudeshes to him. So he now has a woman who has become his wife. Something has been misyakim. He's given a chalos kiddushin misyakim grafted mishalei.
Well, so the gerushin.
So the guy's in he's in China right now, and he appointed shaliach mechudeshes to get a get for him. So true, he's not doing the ma'isa hagerushin, but the chalos hagerushin is relating back to him. So he also has something to show. Here he has something that he's lacking now. He used to have a wife, now he doesn't have anymore. But there's been some change. Something has related back to him that although he hasn't done the ma'isa, the mishalech is not mukta from everything that's going on here. The mishalech does have something to show. Or a much more precious truma. So they're also the same idea. That although he hasn't done the ma'isa of Russia, but now his fruit, a mukta, his fruit used to be temple. Now his fruit are no longer temple, now the chulim. So that's something. Something has been accomplished. The mishalech has something to show for what the shaliach did on his behalf. And the fourth of the examples, karbanos, the korban pesach, which is the marker for karbanos that the Gemara quotes. There also, there's a korban that's nishchat al shemo. Now that's important to have a korban nishchat al shemo. He's now allowed to eat that korban. If you have a korban that's not nishchat al shemo, so you're not allowed to eat that korban. If you have a korban that's not nishchat al shemo, you're not yet to say the mitzvah of korban pesach. So the fact that there's a korban that's misyaches back to the mishaleach, so that's meaningful. Instead of the text, that's the yisrei hadavah. You have to really ask yourself, every time you invoke the principle of shlichos, is there anything that we can now say has changed about the mishaleach? Since the place is read, that's when you run into a rut, when you speak about mitzvah shebagufo. You have a nechas story. So if I call somebody up 6 in the morning and say, listen, I'm tired, I'm rolling over in bed, do me a favor, you know that it's left in me, put a film for me, so great, the shlichos is a big time, he goes, he puts on film, first for himself, and he takes a film for his wife, he didn't look at the My mishaleach in hanochas tefillin. So, what exactly has happened to the mishaleach? What does the mishaleach have to show for the hanochas tefillin of the shaliach? He doesn't even have his phone strap marks on his arm. He has nothing to show. He just has another hour of sleep under his belt. So, what has changed about the mishaleach? Says the place is read. That's the nekuda of the problem. If nothing has changed about the mishaleach, that's the chisara of shlichos by mitzvah shebekufa.
What
are
the
times
that
he's
public
until? That's not like backwards reason. We have to figure out whether shlichus work.
That's a sotik by kiddush and gerushin. The only reason that there's chalos is because we're assuming that the shlichus work.
The rust of the shlichus is to accomplish a change in the mishalech.
So the shlichus works by the tefillin, so now you don't have to put on tefillin.
It's not a change in the mishalech. That's just not pitur.
If I, for example, give stuck and I give someone a shaliach, you can put it in the stuck box or whatever, to give it to the poor person. At the end of the day, I have chesed on keys, right? So with that,
Maybe it would be. So again, so this is the test
for you.
You can't pinpoint that there's some kind of a chalais change in the shaliach, then the whole shtick pashtrik is not going. Again, shlichus is a chiddush. We never would have judged the shlichus in a million years. And the Torah gives yourself four examples of shlichus: gerushin, kiddushin, truma, and tashim. And each one of them, there's some change that's the sadness that the shlichus. So comes the tzais, it says, Mechilas Kavim, the Zizrin, that's not correct. That is an incorrect hagdara as to why there's no shlichus in the shlichus. The tzais doesn't question the maskana of the tzais. Everybody agrees, what might be intuitive to figure out. That there's no shlichus in the shlichus, but the rationale differs. The hagdara chiluk between where shlichus works and where shlichus doesn't work, some says is not correct. That's because you do find shlichus even in situations where nothing really changes in terms of the mishaleach. Where do we find it? By aveira. So we all know. We'll hopefully, talk about this in great detail later on about two days. Gimel. There's machlekes hatanoim where the yesh shlichus va'aveira, yesh shlichus va'aveira. Let's say I hire a hitman. I ask a guy to please go pump off Reuven, and I say, I tell Shimon to please go kill Reuven. So Shimon goes out and kills Reuven. So who is Chayav Nisa for that act of Ritzipa? It's not like it's a Tanar. So one kind of Shaman is not the Shaman, the Rashi of the Shaman. So Shaman has Zokhi, he was of the opinion that Yeh Shliach is Aver, but just the Shliach in the realm of Mitzvahs, the Shliach in the realm of Kedushin and Gevishin and Chalaisim and Chumla and Kachir, well, they're not the Yesh Lechid Va'aveira. Shluch Shem Kemaisa. So when I ask Shimon to kill Reuven, it's Kikilo I killed Reuven. I'm going to be Chayav Misa David for killing Reuven. And it's one understanding what Shaman is up to. The Yesh Lechid Va'aveira.
And everybody else disagreed with Shammai. All the other Tanaim said it's not true.
We pass it against Shammai. And the reason why we pass it against Shammai is that there's two different reasons. One reason is the Svara, Divya Rav, Divya Tam, Divya Mishalim, that how could the Shaliach listen to me? He's supposed to listen to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So we have to figure out hopefully later what in the world that means. Why is that a reason that Shlichus doesn't work? Again, we'll get to that, so we hopefully at the right time. And then the Gemara is another mocker that perhaps Shammai is not right based on Pesukim. The Gemara posts a series of Pesukim that seem to indicate Rosh, that seem to indicate Angel of the Vavir. But the Chalukah is not that Shammai against the rest of the world, but the Angel of the Vavir, Angel of the Vavir. Says the Ketzels, you know, that very often in learning, you can quote a sheet that's not accepted to Halakha, but you can extract an element of truth from that sheet up, and even if you don't necessarily pass it like that particular sheet up, but the rationale behind that sheet, the lumpus behind that sheet is critical, and that can be invoked, can be used in even the halacha. So I think the sheet's conclusion may be quote unquote wrong, halacha, but there is a kernel of truth, even in the sheet's that are, so to speak, not accepted in the halacha. That Rashi Ksuba stuff that Zion writes, that's what Eilu Eilu Dibra Lachim Chayim may be based on. Eilu Eilu Dibra Lachim Chayim, at least seems to be like this, have shown him what exactly that phrase means. So there's some Rishonim who learned that we brought here, there was Eilu the Eilu being, the Eilu Shef, the Sif, the Sif, those were never happened in the Shef yet. So 3 years ago, how many years ago, 2 years ago, we gave a Shef that Eilu the Eilu Dibra Lachim Chayim, and we didn't get a chance to finish it, so we told the Gorgon we'd have a part two, and part two never happened. So we considered to be part two. So maybe we'll one of those times. So the Ritva seems to say that Eilu means that there are really different levels of truth. I mean, you can have Rabbi Huda being true and Rabbi Meir being true, even though Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda say two different things. So that's really the whole question, how can that be? But Rashi doesn't sound that way. Rashi, as soon as that comes down, seems to say that Eilu doesn't mean that the emesis that both sheetahs are true. And the emesis is one sheetah is right and one sheetah is wrong. But even within the wrong sheetahs, There are so many aspects that are true in the wrong shita. It happens to be that the particular conclusion of that shita, this shaila, is not correct. I mean, this particular detail of the shaila, so only Rabbi Meir is right and Rabbi Huda is wrong. But there are things that Rabbi Huda is saying that are true and can be extracted out of the shita and plugged into other cases. So therefore, you have to learn Rabbi Huda. You have to understand Rabbi Huda because from Rabbi Huda, there are elements of truth, and those elements of truth may be true. The mice in a slightly different nuance of the case. So that's exactly what we're doing here also. Again, says the Tos that Shammai is something is wrong. We don't trust him with Shammai. We do not accept the Shammai. On the other hand, there's something behind what Shammai is telling us that's important to learn. What is that? That Shammai is telling us that there is a principle of Shaliach Lebaver, even with Tzicha, you can't have Shalichos. Now the reason why we disagree with Shammai is because of technicalities. We hold that ain't shlichus da'aveir because divrei rav divrei tam. Or we hold that certain gzeiros kasam why there's no shlichus da'aveir. Whatever the reason, God doesn't matter. But we don't question the basic premise of Shammai that theoretically there really should have been shlichus even in the realm of Ritzicha. So it says it tells, well, in the realm of Ritzicha, what happens to the Mishalech? But I tell Reuben to kill Shimon, so how do I change? How does the Mishalech change? What chalos exactly happens to the Mishalech? I'm sleeping. And I hired a hit guy, and he's killing the other guy. So how does that change me exactly? What chalos happened to me? What chalos, gevushin, kedushin, truma, what exactly happened to change me as a mishaleach? Absolutely nothing. And after the chen, Shammai still accepted the principle of shlichus. And Shammai is not absolutely wrong. Shammai may be not correct by halacha in the particular case of Ritzicha because of the other criteria of Enshlech and Vavera. But the Ikaron, Shammai's Yisrael, that there can be shlichos even when nothing is besyachas to the Mishaleach, we don't find that anybody disagrees with. So let's extract that kernel of truth from Shammai Shita and now plug it into the Shavuot. So we ask the Ketzels of the Taisa Drid, and I ask somebody to put on tefillin for me, why doesn't that work? Why don't we say that the Maisa Hanukkah Tefillin of the Shaleach goes back to the Mishaleach, the same way the Maisa Ritzicha of the Shaleach goes back to the Mishaleach, or should have gone back to the Mishaleach, if not for the technical details of the Shlichus Da'aveira. So just as according to Shammai, Yesh Shlichus Da'aveira, so too would be done, this should be Yesh Shlichus Da'aveira Mitzvah. So, just be even by Mikhtar Shabbagufo, Shlichus should work, and that had the Da'aveira, the place is written, the Chari is refuted by Shammai Shita. That tells us attack against the place is written. So the Ketzai says, so what is the correct answer? So why is it that there's no Shlichus Da'aveira Mitzvah?
Tells it gives an entirely different construct. Comes and tells and says that we only find shlichos by maisim, halosim. Says the tells, we don't find in the din of shlichos that the guf hashaliach should become the guf hamishaleach. When I point to shaliach in the kaddish and isha to me, he doesn't become my guf. His mice condition relates back to me. The chalos condition that he's created on this woman relates back to me. But when I'm the point of slip in Mahmish Truma, his mice afrosha relates back to me. The chalos that the tevel and Abin Yechuim relates back to me. But we don't find that Hilcha Shlicha should create that the Guf Ha'adam transform. We don't find anywhere in Hilcha Shlicha, there's a custom of Hilcha Shlicha, that Shlichus can lay in the physical sense, that his goof becomes my goof. Why is that important? It says itself, but I appoint the Shaliach to put his filling on me. So what does that mean? So he's doing a nice hand on his filling. What's the problem? Where is that nice hand on his filling taking place? It's taking place in his arm. What would that locha be? Let's say if I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I would take the tefillin out of my bag and put it on somebody else's arm. I did a ma'isa nachas tefillin. Was I yet to the mitzvah? Absolutely not. The mitzvah tefillin is not to do a ma'isa nachas tefillin. The mitzvah tefillin is to do a ma'isa nachas tefillin on my goof. And forget, you don't even need a ma'isa nachas tefillin for the mitzvah. Let's say somebody else ties the tefillin on my arm. That's also good. It's not the ma'isa nachas tefillin that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that the tefillin should be on my goof. So since it tells, since the Shaliach's goof is not the Mishaleach's goof, so the Shaliach can do a Ma'is Anochet's goof from today or tomorrow on behalf of the Mishaleach. You can say, Hini Luchel Zuma, that this mitzvah should go back to the Mishaleach from today or tomorrow. So the Ma'is Anochet's goof goes back, but it's in the wrong arm. It's in the wrong place. So that's the chisar of the mitzvah should be goof. Whenever you have a mitzvah that involves the goof of Adam, so the nature of the mitzvah is such that the goof of Adam is involved in the mitzvah. What's the mashal? Achim is not. I'm going to point the shaliach to matzah b'aneh. So the guy's going to go ahead and he's going to do a ma'is achilas matzah b'aneh. So the ma'is is going to go back to me. What does that mean? It's a meaningful statement because the mitzvah of achilas matzah has got to go down my throat. That's the whole nature of the mitzvah. So any time you have a mitzvah that involves the guf ha'adam, shlichus can't get off the ground because shlichus, by definition, only works in the realm of chalosim. It only works in the realm of ma'isim. It doesn't transform the guf ha'shaliach to become the guf ha'mishaleach. So the place is written. It does end up in the same page. You end up in the same conclusion. Clearly, there's no shlichus for sukkah, for lula, for tefillin, for any of these types of mitzvahs. But for different reasons, because Rit Chisaron is because there's nothing that's changing about the Mishaleach. What the Tzitzis the Chisaron is that Gufa, the Shaliach, doesn't become the Gufa Mishaleach.
For the yellow filling, what level of involvement does the person have to have? Can theoretically this guy, you know, lying in bed, can he still be sleeping? Can he call his friend at 5 in the morning and say, come over at 7:30 and put my filling on, I'm still going to be sleeping? Would that be?
Under normal circumstances, you know,
let's
say a guy mamash can't move his arm. Let's say he has a splitting film on his left arm, his right arm is broken, he can't move his arm. So as somebody's friend comes and helps him with the film on. So the meniach still makes the bracha laniach. If the person himself still makes the bracha, that's what it means. That's physically what it means. Bottom line, everyone agrees Lamaiza is no shlichus. We're quite interested in Jurid and Tzais as to what the Bira Dabur is. What's the Svar? The first year I was in California, before I was engaged.
So
So I went out to go meet my in-laws today, I was there for Shabbos, and nobody was supposed to know who I was. I mean, just, you know, the mysterious person was coming, a long-lost friend and family, who was coming for Shabbos. So Semach and God went for me, ended up giving a chavur or something, I ended up speaking a little bit on Shabbos, somebody's house. So somehow this post is really, so came up. So I started to speak a little bit about the pleasure of the post. And I said to my point because it's written, it tells you what there's a fight. So there was a Rosh Hashiva there from Eretz Yisrael, an older Rosh Hashiva, somehow he was staying at his house and speaking, and he got very, very upset. He said, I call it Gidda Bakta Vesha Choykes, it's written, Rishon, but it's written, Achron, Yevshon, Gidda Choykes. Screaming, how could it be? He said, you're giving me a little kid, what do you think you're saying? Rishon, Achron. I don't know exactly how to respond to that. I said, if the Tosafot says something, and the Tosafot says he's wrong and says something else, so what should we call that exactly? You won't call it up, what should we call it? So I didn't say that. Anyway, so you're still looking at it, and I still got my irons, you know, and I followed through on the scan of what you wanted, and you didn't do what I said, and that's the whole thing was. Anyway, so. So this machlekes place is really tells now is going to come important because this machlekes, although it may agree to the basic plan of the mission of the world, the slight nuance of difference between the two, maybe all the difference in the world, in terms of which mitzvahs really fall under this category of mitzvahs of the group or which don't. So some are very obvious, the children are obvious mitzvahs of the world. Others may or may not be so obvious, others may not even be in the Tisha B'Av. So we have to spend a little bit of time trying to search through different examples where Shlichus B'Av may not be relevant and see how the person himself is going to play out.
Are they defining the Tisha B'Av, or are they defining what's not?
I think they're trying to figure out when Shlichus does it apply. You know, when you're learning Kedushin from Alf and Rambayz, we're going to see if Shlichus does apply. But in the, you know, everyone agrees somehow in the, you know, in some cases it doesn't apply. We're trying to figure out what is the rule. So the first mitzvah that's controversial, whether Shlichus applies in that which may very much be related to this matzah, is the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So what's the halacha? Let's say, have a little baby boy, and I don't want to do the Bris Mila, I don't know how to do the Bris Mila, and I ask him, well, please do the Bris Mila, and hey, what's the halacha? The shlichus, then the mitzvah bris mila. There is a famous rush that appears in the sixth parak of Kula. I put on the commentary. The rush is commenting on the following. There is a din that if I steal somebody's mitzvah, so I have to pay them a certain amount. We just call us a chavur. If I steal your mitzvah, I have to pay you payment of zehuvim. The midat Torah is also she's stealing the mitzvah. The midat Torah, the name is only as a chayt, as a physical, tangible object. So the dinabar of the chumash is that if I steal a mitzvah that belongs to you, I have to pay an X amount of money. So if I steal your mitzvah, what does that mean? Why is it your mitzvah more than my mitzvah? Well, the example, the original example that appears in the Mishnah, the Sefer Chum, that's what the Rosh appears here, and the Sefer, is the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. It's a mitzvah that if a person shechts a chai or a rose, a wild animal or a bird, so we have the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, what's the cover of those are the part of the chai or an oaf, and the mitzvah is primarily on the sheichet. The Torah says, Asher yatsu tzeichei ote shavu v'shapat edot v'chav v'chafar. So, v'shashav v'chli yichas. The person who did the shrita, so he's the one who has first cracks towards the Kisi Adam. Let's say for whatever reason the shekhar doesn't do it, then somebody steps up to the plate and does it as well. But in terms of the schus of mitzvahs, that's the thing that I've heard, that the shekhar has the schus to do the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. So, I'm not a shekhar, I never tried. I was very kind of doing Kisi Adam 2 times. So one time I did Kisi Adam last year, I did Kisi Adam with somebody who was behind me and Arab Kippur by Taparas to do Kisi Adam. So it's a shadow whether the Sheikh is supposed to do that, because then I'm supposed to be Yosef and Shuluk. That's a different question. Maybe next time we're supposed to do answer that question. So that was the one time we did it. And the other time that I did Kisi Adam was in Belfer. It was back I don't know, 12, 15 years ago or so when my illustrious roommate was a shayet, so we decided to shep a couple of chickens and he's the chav and he also did the Kisi Adam. Those are two times in my life that I did the Kisi Adam. So the shaykhet really is the one who has his chuzot tzivud out. So what's the game if the shaykhet checks the bird? Now he's getting ready to go because he's now getting the dirt together, and then another guy comes zooming in and throws dirt onto the blood. And he said, I'm a jetzi. So, well, did he have the mitzvah? So once the jetzi, then he kicks the dirt off from the road again, so the mitzvah is done. So that's what the mishnah says. If a person does that, then you have to pay 10 zehubim to the shaykh, because you stole his mitzvah. He really had the, he was entitled to the mitzvah. The Torah was exactly the mitzvah. You stole it from the other day. It's not the rabbanim. So the Rush writes, what's the loch in the following case? Let's say a father is a little boy, and he's the eighth day, and the father has to be in my own, he's in his knife already, he's standing there, he's getting ready, he's about to put his towels on, his hands are clean, everything's ready, standing there with a knife about to do the mila, and another guy comes zooming in from left field, pulls him over, grabs the baby, and doesn't mila. So the Rush says, he stole the mitzvah, the father is first grabbed to get the mila, obviously, he's in the mitzvahs will tell us first and foremost of the father. The same way the guy who stole the mitzvah from the shochet has to pay ten zuz. The guy who stole the mitzvah from the father also has to pay ten zuz. Then the Rush comes on and says, what's the din of the following case? Let's say the father's not going to do the mila. He says, I don't know how to do the mila. So I asked somebody to do, so I call Rabbi Katz and say, they just say, okay, the neighborhood, the father and the son. I call Rabbi Katz to come and do my bris and my son. He's getting himself ready. He's putting on his talus. He's getting his knife ready. He's ready. He's putting his gloves on. He's all ready to adapt to start the mila. And some other guy comes out left field and doesn't bowl me. He doesn't bowl over the cat. He's a mile over. He grabs the baby and doesn't do well. So is there a chiyuv to pay 10 zuzim or not? So the Rush says no. The Rush says, gee, I got that. The father wasn't going to do the meal anyway. There's no mitzvah to do the... There's no thing to give a chiyuv to pay 10 zuzim. What's the rationale? So the Rush says, why doesn't the cat see any more situation than the guy bowls him over? If you steal the mitzvah from the father, so the father's first cracks to the mitzvah, so you stole the mitzvah, you stole the father's mitzvah. But if you steal from a mayat, so like, why is he any more of a mayat than the other guy? From a ten mizacha, so he doesn't have zechiya on it. It's the fact that I, as the father, asked him to do it. That's the malach of my mitzvah. So since he's not a zechiya, the mitzvah, well, I'm not, the person who bowled him over is not going to be a zechiya to say it's not either. That's the famous pesach in the Rush. So comes the Shach and Chesha Nishpan and says, the base of this Rush, we can derive the following, that there's no Shlichos for Mila. The concept of Shlichos on Kamezah doesn't apply to Mila. That's the Shach inference of this Rush. The question is, how in the world do you see anything about Shlichos? The Shach said, the Rush wasn't talking about Shlichos, the Rush was talking about going into the Mitzvah. How do you see anything about Shlichos? So comes the Tzoyis and says, I'll explain to you what the Shach meant. How did the Shach see in this Hamid the Rush? How did he see that there's no Shlichus on the Rush? So it's such a that true what the Rush says, that when the guy from the outside comes and bowls over the mayo, so he doesn't have to pay the mayo, because the mayo wasn't deserving the mitzvah, so he didn't really steal anything from someone who was entitled to the mitzvah. Well, Chayra, the tackler, should have to pay the father. Why? Because Chosman, the cat, didn't do the mila, so he was my shaliyah. So she was not going to come up. So it's Ki'ilu, I, the father, did the mitzvah. So if the mila would have been done through the cat, I would have gotten the mitzvah, I, the father, would have gotten the mitzvah. That's not what happened. This no good, Nick came and bowled over the mila and did the mila himself. So I never told this guy to be the mila. I never told him to be the shaliyah. I'm not paying him to be my mila. So he is not my shaliyah. So now he learned himself that I, as the father, lost out the mitzvah. Told man that the mila I appointed would have done the mitzvah, I would have done the mitzvah. And now that a strange mila, someone who I never appointed, I don't know if this guy, this Meshuggah is, he does the mila, so I don't get credit for the mitzvah. I don't get the brownie points for the mitzvah. That he stole the mitzvah from me. So why is the Rush telling you a story that the guy doesn't have to pay because the mile number one or the captain wasn't the zeicha in the mitzvah? That's true, he wasn't the zeicha in the mitzvah. So he shouldn't be mechuyav to pay him, but he should be mechuyav to pay me, because by stealing the mitzvah for the glory from Rabbi Gafferty, he in effect stole it from me, because I, my shaliach, no longer did the mitzvah. So comes the Shach and says, so what's the beer in the Rush? So why didn't the Rush realize that? Is that the Fadar you see from here, that the Shach, that the Rush understood that there's no such thing as Shlichos by Mila. The Parash of Shlichos doesn't make sense by Mila. There's no such thing as Shlichos by Mila. So when I asked him Mila to do a Mila for me, he's not a Shlich. There's no such thing. He's doing it, but Nebuch, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it, so Nebuch, someone's got to do it. So he'll do it, but he's not doing it, but there's my Shlichos. So therefore, there's no difference in the halacha whether it's the appointed male who does the mila or it's the self-appointed male who does the mila. That's exactly what the Rosh is saying. Now, therefore, when the guy comes and bowls over the appointed male, who do you want to pay the five shekels?
To pay the five shekels to the male.
Why was the male number one and he was nice on the mitzvah and ground number two? To pay the five shekels to the father malachach, he wasn't going to get any mitzvah because you don't say shluch sham kamaisai in the realm of Rishim. That's the way the Tzitz is reading the Pshat, and the Pshat's right, but that's the Rosh. You have three levels of this. You have the Rosh made his statement, the Shach made his inferences, the Dai, there's no shluchas by mila, and the Tzitz is just filling in the gap. So, how in the world did the Shach see anything about shluchas by mila from this Rosh? But now the Tzitz takes us to the next level. Now the Tzitz says, Papa, why should that be? Now that we're just dying, now that we know what the Rosh is talking about, now we think we know what the Rosh and the Shach are talking about. So why is that true, Papa? Why is the Rosh the concern? Is Manishtar Mila from Kargataisa? Manishtar Mila from anything else? Manishtar Mila that there shouldn't be Shlichos for Mila. So it comes and tells us, I'll tell you why. There's only one category of Halacha that we know is Mufka from Shlichos, and that's the category of Mitzvah Shebegufa. So says the tells it must be that Mila is an example of a mitzvah shebegufo. Why exactly is Mila an example of a mitzvah shebegufo? So comes the tells and pulls a fast one on us. Comes the tells and says, well, we all know that the reason why mitzvah shebegufo is not shebegufos is a cost of the case is rid in kedushas on the days that can only have shlichos when something is misyaches back to the father. When the father has nothing to speak of, when nothing's changed for the father, so then there's no concept of shlichus. He says, it tells, when I do bris milah on my son, what changes about me? I'm the same guy that was before. I used to be a ball, I'm full of mile. I used to be Jewish, I'm full Jewish. My crew is the same, my condition is the same, my gear. What's the difference? My son has a milah, what does that do to me? That doesn't change my status. There's no halachic significance of my son no longer being or not being a mohel. So it says, so that's a classic example of a chisaron of mitzvah shebegufo, according to the Taisus Rid. So according to the Taisus Rid's understanding of the chisaron of mitzvah shebegufo, Mila falls right smack into that category. So that's what the Shach and the Rosh were driving at. They were going to explain to Taisus Rid that any time you have a situation where there's nothing to point to back to the Mishaleach, the Chiyagavel or the Skadish or the Chichar Torah being in their shulchas. How can they get it?
You're saying Mila is a Mitzvah Shabufa?
Yeah, he's saying it's a Mila Shabufa, because Mila Shabufa, the Mitzvah Shabufa, which is just another way of saying, but there's nothing to point back to the Mishalach. That's what the Kitzel says. Now, of course, it becomes intuitively obvious that this Kitzel is very, very difficult to understand. Because the Tzitz himself is the Bar Plukta of the Tzitz Rid, as we were in the Chadash in California many moons ago. And there's a machlokes between the Tzitz Rid and the Tzitz. The Tzitz himself said the Tzitz Rid is wrong. So according to the Tzitz Rid's definition of Mitzvah Shebegufo, the Tzitz is not so bad. The Tzitz is on target. But according to the Tzitz's Gufa, his, no pun intended, his personal definition of Mitzvah Shebegufo, is there any reason to believe that Mila should be a Mitzvah Shebegufo? Mitzvah means when the nature of the mitzvah involves the guf ha-mishaleach, so the guf ha-shaleach doesn't become the guf ha-mishaleach. The mitzvah to be ma'al, your child, that doesn't involve your body, that involves the baby's body. So you don't have to transform the shaleach to become the guf ha-mishaleach in order to invoke shlichus for the mitzvah of mila. The mitzvah of Mila, giving Mal my son, is a Maisa mitzvah. It's a Maisa, it's like a Maisa Kedushin. It's like a Maisa Geirish. It's like a Maisa Fresh is true. It's like a Maisa Shkikas HaPesa. The same way that the Shkikas HaPesa takes a Maisa that somebody else does and throws it back to the Mishalach, as Mishalach is back to the Mishalach. Or do you know what I mean? It should work in the realm of Mila as well. It's only those mitzvahs which involve the Tuf HaAdam which are labeled as mitzvah shebegufo according to the analysis of the Kitzos. So the Kitzos himself didn't buy into this Taisus Rid, so the Kitzos himself could never label Mila as a mitzvah shebegufo. So the stubble, the Kitzos meant to say, the Kitzos did not tell you this is personal opinion. He's telling you that if you want to know Pshat in the Rush, you want to know Pshat in the Shach, you want to know Pshat in the Dust, those posts give who are being mechadish this idea that there's no shlichus mevila. The only way to explain away this phenomena, why there's no shlichus mevila, is to relate it to the Tosfos Ariz's understanding of mitzvah shebegufa. Whether the Tosfos Ariz is right or wrong, that's irrelevant to the Tosfos. Look at what I wrote in the book of Pei. I happen to think that the Tosfos Ariz is wrong, says the Tosfos. But if you want to know a view in the Rosh, you want to know a view in the Shah, so the stomach is the way to go. So this is a classic personal Pei. So we have a clock. There's no shlichus of mitzvah shebegufa. We're not sure the reason is that the Tosfos Ariz Mahalach. You need something to do with Yachay, back to the Mishalayach. That it tells you, Mahalach, that you can't say Gufa Shliach and come to the Mishalayach. You want to know my Nafkin, by Tchilin, they both agree. By Sippin, they both agree. By Luma, by Masa, they both agree. By Truma, Kedushin, Gavishin, and Paramezach, they all agree the Mishalayach. So my Nafkinina, what you call Mitzvah Shabbufo, if everybody agrees to everything, the answer is no. There are certain mitzvahs that fall between the cracks. One of the examples of a mitzvah that falls between the cracks is bris mila. When you go to the text, it's a rich definition. This is a mitzvah shibagufa. In fact, in the Rosh of the Shacharai, there's no shlichus. If you go to the Tosfos definition, this is not a mitzvah shibagufa, and the Rosh and the Shacharai are not right. But now, come to the Tosfos itself. Says, you know, he's not even sure if the Shach read this Rosh correctly. We're not even convinced that the Rosh really held that there's no shlichus on Mila. What did the Rosh say? The Rosh could have said anything about shlichus. The Rosh said that the guy who bowls over the mile doesn't have to pay attention. So comes the text and says, you can read the Rosh completely different. Not the Shach, it would be different from the way Shach read the Rosh. Says the Ketzais. But the Rosh really meant to say is like this. Here the guy comes in, bowls over every captain. So you want to know, poor captain is a good fellow. It's a great mile. Both father and son. Highly recommend. So the meanwhile, for our case, so comes in this guy, 350 pound water bath, comes in, bowls him over, and does the meal himself. So comes the Rosh and says, no problem, you don't have to pay anything. The question is, who should he have paid to? Who are we addressing? Who should the linebacker have to have paid to? Should he have to pay to the father, or should he have to have paid to the mother? So comes the place and says, Kuli Albert would you that he doesn't have to pay the father. You know why he doesn't have to pay the father? Because the father himself was mevater on the mitzvah. The father himself wasn't going to do the mitzvah himself. The only pay ten zuvim is somebody who was going to do the ma'aseh mitzvah themselves, and got pulled out, got bumped out of the way. If you yourself weren't doing this for whatever reason, you weren't going to do it because you don't know how to do it, you weren't doing it because you're queasy about doing it, you weren't going to do it because you wanted to do it, I don't care what the reason, it's irrelevant to themselves. Tachlis, push comes to shove, you weren't going to do it, ten zuvim are not coming your way. Kuliyamul and Kuligi, you're not about ten zuvim. The only shayla that the Rosh discussed was, should we give the mayel, should we give Rabbi Katzkin ten zuvim? But for that the Rosh of Pekadish know that Rabbi Katzkin isn't entitled to the tenth zuvim. You know why? Because Maya Hanilo, why is he integrated in the linebacker? Why does he have any was chus to the Mila and the guy who bumps him out? What's the difference? And it takes these more down than the answer because the father asked him to lose the father. So comes the Tzelsin and says, you, Shach, wanted to. You wanted to be the dying from this Rosh, from the fact that the bumper outer is not paying the father. So Zetman Fando, you see from here, there's no shlichus because the father, the lavach, is losing the mitzvah. It's not true. Abi Alacha, what the shlichus for me? Like, why in a million years she can say there's no shlichus? Anyone think that the Mila is a mitzvah of the Gufa? That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Everybody knows what I wrote in Kufa Nei. It's not a mitzvah of the Gufa. What's the shlichus for me? Elamah, you want to pay the father? What is the father? The father was most discussed for the Tenzuvim. The comments of Chum, Nas Tenzuvim was only for the person who was going to do the mitzvah of the Adayim, didn't do it because it got bumped out like the case of Kisi Adam. Then and only then do you get Tenzuvim. But if you weren't going to do it for whatever reason, I don't care, just about unjustified, you're not getting Tenzuvim. The deal of the Rosh was only should we give the male number one Tenzuvim. So to that, the Rosh says no, because by the way, why should he get it? Why is he greater than the guy who steals, quote-unquote? So at the end of the day, we don't even have a Rishon. It says there's no Shlichos on Mila. We have a Shach's reading of the Rush. We have a Sosa's alternate reading of the Rush. We have a possible Rush. Maybe. So maybe there's a suffering we have a Rush that may or may not say that the Shlichos on Mila. But the Korah, this Rush is critical for our Sogya. Because this is the litmus test. This is it. This is ultimately the test as to who's right.
Because it's really the Ktzels. What is the Hagdara of Mitzvah Shevagufo?
Mitzvah Shevagufo is because it's rid oriented, then the Shach is reading the Rosh is correct, then there should not be Shlichos on Mila.
If the Ktzels is understanding of the Chisar of Mitzvah Shevagufo is correct,
then the Ktzels is reading of the Rosh should be correct, then there really should be Shlichos on Mila. This is a Shalom Mamash Alachonai, so this is a very important child. For most followers, it doesn't matter, because I don't see, I don't know how to do it, so it's not even a hobby to do it. Let's say a guy knows how to do it. He also doesn't do my own, the doctor, he knows how to do Mila, and he wants to give the Mila to somebody else. He wants to get a point and mile from the Mila in his bag. Is he allowed to do so or not? Maybe a whole, like the shops, you know, the Rosh, that Mila is not Mita to Shlichos, like the Tyson's Rig, or the Mitzvah, but yes, it's a Mitzvah Shibuzufo. It comes out that if the father asks the mile to do the Mila on his behalf,
you know what the father's doing?
He's doing the Vata of the Mitzvah's Essay in the Torah of Chayav Oda, Chayav Av, what was the
Mishnah in Kiddushin, Achav Tez, that one of the Chiyuvim that a father got to a son is Lomel is Benoi.
The Yom Ha'am is Yitzhak Benoi, a special Chiyuv of a father from the Nala son. So according to the Shach's reading of the Rosh, if you go to Ikfis, the place is read, to the father of the Lord. He said, he didn't talk to all the things, I didn't check a little bit in the Yashar, he didn't map, he didn't do the Mitzvah of the Yom Ha'am is Yitzhak Benoi. According to the alternate reading of the Rosh, or to the Sosa's reading of the Rosh, it's fitting to the Sosa's understanding of the limitation of Mitzvah Shibugufo, that there is Shalichos on Mila. What's the father losing out when he appoints somebody else to do the Mila for him? What's he losing out? Another thing that we spoke about recently. Losing out Mitzvah Yosef Mishlucho. Come on, it's his friend, Mitzvah Yosef Mishlucho. Come on, who cares? Mitzvah Yosef Mishlucho. It's not the end of the world. So what's happening when you go to a bris? I don't know how to do a mila. So the Mazag Yetzir is a mila. I'm like, is he born or not? According to the Shach, so I wasn't answering. According to the Shach, I'll just put a pocket. I don't know how to do it. What should I do? So the mila got convinced. I walked away with nothing. And I paid a bill for a bunch of bagels at once. According to the Ktzels, if there is shlichos on Mila, so then I got the mitzvah. Shlichos on, I'm my son. I did some yos mishum, I don't know how to do it, so what do you want from me? So I still get the mitzvah of the vayol abdus of the chapsa named in Afkamina. Again, if the father doesn't know how to do it, it's not going to be much of an Afkamina, but if the father does know how to do it, it's going to be a tremendous Afkamina, can it be mechad in somebody else?
According to us, if there was shlichos, why would that give Yemoel extra attitudes? More of a
sponsor. Why doesn't Moyle any more than anybody else?
Why doesn't he get the
fear of
the father and has
like fear of the Shaliyah does mitzvah, but he has the other mitzvah. Everything out there from the Zuzah from the Yitzvah. Maybe make the block, then is it?
According to Rosh, why would every father keep to learn?
Yeah, it cannot be, it really should. How do I know that? How do I know that? How strong hands? Yeah, according to the Shach's reading of the Rosh, every father should try to learn Mila. So, this is the source. It's this Shach, the source. Anyone who's ever been in those verses, where sometimes, you know, the mother will set everything up, knows just that everything, and then the father will do the last, you know, the last cup. The only part that really matters. He'll do that last part that actually takes the oil off. So those people who are doing that, they're trying to be back to the Shach.
It's literally because it makes you say it down.
Is there shlichos by kisi adam? So that was probably the same child. Yeah. Right,
that was the same child.
Right.
To do it twice was
that would probably be right. That's the same child. That's the mashal. On the one hand, it's not a mitzvah the gufo or mitzvah. So on the other hand, there's nothing about the siyachin back to the mashal.
Isn't it very difficult to call
risking about mitzvah? Because the word mitzvah gufo was a made-up phrase. It's a phrase that the mashal coined. So what it really means, according to the Tosfos Rit, is whenever there's nothing with Yaakov, it's back to Mishalem. We just quote the Shabbat, because there's nothing else to quote.
But the Tosfos Rit, he does say, Mitzvot said, Achai, you're good, but he doesn't ignore that language.
Yeah, yeah, but that language is just because 99.9% of the time, those are descriptions of mitzvahs, that there's nothing with Yaakov's back. But every once in a while, you can have a mitzvah not with Yaakov's back, which doesn't live up with the Gufa. So again, so we want to go bottom line, and we're going to show you. So everything revolves around this rush, but two totally different ways to read this rush, and then everything is set. So there is a Beferi Shem. She's telling that to Ozarua. The Ozarua writes that there's no Shlichus, not your Shlichus. And the Ramon, Dakimosha, in Hilchus Mila, quotes this Ozarua. He says, sorry, he didn't roll. I hate to take some shlichas. Some of the nice. Whoever heard, why is Milo an exception to the rule? A lot of the shlichas on Milo. Like any other mitzvah. Because the rule did say it. And you know what? That says it. He's wrong. So this Ramon is important. You know why? Because the Ramon Cheshe Mishpat, when the Dinim appear in Cheshe Mishpat, about the Tzim Mitzvahs and Kinasas, the Ramon quotes this Psach and the Rush. Why is that interesting? Why does that remark interest us? But on the one hand, the Ramah quotes the Psach and the Rush, and on the other hand, the Ramah also passes at the Shlichus and Mila. How does the Ramah learn the Rush? Like it tells, the Ramah didn't see in the Rush the Shachsu in the Rush. The Ramah said that, yeah, that's a big deal. That's the Shlichus and Mila, and the Rush is still right. So where the Shachsu on the Rush telling you, Gevaldik, he said, there's no Shlichus by Mila. The Ramah didn't see that. All right, both the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah. No, then he can disagree with the Rosh Hashanah.
What was the Sam was asking for that when the guy makes the Moel of the Shia, when he says he's going to adopt the Shia, Rav Moshe, right? So why is he not have more of a Zachai than
the other guy? That is Chos, it's not his Yitzhak.
Why not? He's doing the Baal
now. No, not the Baal. He's doing it. He's doing it again. The Father will be the whole Shlita, so he's doing it. He's going to relate back to the Father. He's not the Bible of the Mitzvah. Bible of the Mitzvah, by Shach. The Torah says that I'm the Bible of the Mitzvah. Who's the Father? Not a Bible of the Mitzvah. What's the Mitzvah? What does the Shlita do? He doesn't give somebody that's close to enable him to get to the moment. So this Machlok is that we're having now. Two ways of reading the Rosh. Cherish Machlok is the Earth of the United Moshe. The Shlichus for Mila, so we think that this is our Sugya. All right, let's spend words for a few minutes on the Sugya Mitzvah of the Gufa, we're talking about this Rush. But there may be a totally and completely different way to understand this issue. Is there Shlichus and Mila now? There's nothing at all to do with Mitzvah of the Gufa. Maybe there's a different reason why there's no Shlichus and Mila. The Mark Kedushin in that Chavtas tells us that there are three different levels of Chiyuv of Mila. The Chiyuv of Mila, primarily, first and foremost, in the father. If the father doesn't do it, who's Chiyuv kicks in next? Beis Din. If the Beis doesn't do it, who's Chiyuv next? If the Chiyuv doesn't do it, so he has to do it himself. When we say Beis Din is the Chiyuv to do Mila, what is the case? It's the three Dayanim who are sitting with the long coach. It's Chai, so they the Chai, so 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 when the Shliach is Mekadosh Mishu, he doesn't say Mekadosh is Li, he says that Mekadosh is to him. But he says Mekadosh is to Ruben. So he's not getting this woman. He's not being Mekadosh this woman. The condition is not being the Shliach is to him, obviously. So the Torah is Mekadosh, it goes back to the Mishalem. So let's say I point the Shliach to the Garish for a while. So when he gives a piece of paper, so he's not creating a personal chalos of Garish, he's not married to her. I point the shliach to nafish truma. So it's my fruit. It's not his fruit, it's my fruit. Classic examples of shlichos are all examples when the shliach is a bystander. The shliach is an outsider. The shliach is not invested in this. He's not gaining anything for himself. So the Torah says, shlichos are the kibbutz.
Maisa, the Chalais is beside the back of the Shalais. Perhaps one can argue that you can't invoke the principle of Shalichos by Brismila, because in addition to the Chiyav Ha'apamu, there's also a Chiyav HaKol Yachad Yachad, a Kol HaTzim, and all the Chal Yisrael, to be Ma'al Ovi Arelim Shemineyam. So when this Ma'al, I appoint as a Shaliach, to be Ma'al, so the mitzvah goes to him. He downloads the mitzvah for me. It's his mitzvah. Why? Because he's also a Chiyav B'davah, to be Ma'al. So the Mila is Mikra Al Shemai. He's Yaitse, his mitzvah, him Alechem Kozachar. So once that mitzvah is his mitzvah, that mitzvah is not Mishiachis back. One mitzvah per Mila. That Mila is not Mishiachis back in Mishalayach. Maybe this is a whole new angle of a concern of Shlichus that we haven't yet had. We know there's a bit of Shlichus we call Terekula, but every example of Shlichus seems to be a case where the Shaliach can't get the mitzvah. The mitzvah can't be Nikra Al Shem HaShaliach. But maybe we have a type of a setup where the mitzvah can be Nikra Al Shem HaShaliach. So maybe one can argue that that mitzvah is Nikra Al Shem HaShaliach, and once it's Nikra Al Shem HaShaliach, it no longer goes back to the Mishalach.
Do we have examples where you can decide not like a Zohar Hefker? So I could be Zohar Hefker for myself. But I can say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get it from the other guy. I can make that decision.
That's a big question. Can you even ask this question? That's not so far that you can ask this question. It's called the Bia Chavera, so we also give a Bati about that. So there's a whole new angle in the first meal. There's nothing new in Mitzvah Shiva Duh.
In case of Kedushin, putting a Shaliyah, the Kedushin,
he could have been Mekadesh for, but he didn't. He said, Harem HaKadesh L'Ruven. Whereas by Mila, it's the same mice, there's no difference. It's almost the same thing. Because one, the chiv of Beis Din is in effect preventing the mitzvah being the shachas back to Mishalim.
So shlichus,
there has to be no... Shlichus has to be when the shliach is a bartender. The shliach is not getting the mitzvah.
Kind of getting involved in it.
Once the mitzvah is his, it doesn't go back to Mishalim. If this, I'm not saying this you said is correct. It's a possibility. If this would be true, then what would be the nekudas of achoikis? Those who show them say, who do invoke this, and the Ramos, and the Ferish of the Rishlichus, or the Ketos who say, Vidas HaRosh, that the Rosh ever said this much. So what would they be arguing about? What clue would they be arguing about? So we can now say one of two things. Either they're arguing this very Yisrael, they say, whoever heard it, who made this year? We just made it be Yisrael. Made it be Yisrael, you might have a Shiesh. No Shlichus when the Shliach gets the mitzvah himself. Well, how you dvar mayad? That's good for the Nekudas of Achlingus. Well, maybe one wants to make a little bit of a fancy twist. One could say as follows. But you know what? That Yisrael is current. Everybody, I'm only pleading that that's true. You can't have shalichos when the shaliach grabs the mitzvah for himself. So what's the Nekudas of Achlingus? There is a question in the Poskim, how do we do Gemara Kedushin Daf Chaf Tes? The Gemara tells us there are three levels of Nila. The three of Nila, father first and foremost. Then the Gemara says the father doesn't do it, he's not around. Whose mitzvah is it? The Beis Din. The Beis Din doesn't do it, then the kids. What does that mean? That when the father doesn't do it, then the Beis Din's mitzvah kicks in. One thing read the Gemara to mean is that the father doesn't do it, maybe the father doesn't want to do it. Either he doesn't want to do it, he's not broke, or he's not alive, or he's out of cap. The father's out of the picture. But the father's out of the picture, but then the chiyuv, in effect, becomes the Beis Din to you. But Kol's not the father's here. But the father wants to do it, and he's sponsoring all the bagels and lots. So then if the father's chiyuv, the Beis Din doesn't even kick in yet. Beis Din does not have a chiyuv. There's no chiyuv. I'm not a chiyuv to go running around finding 8-day-old babies and grabbing out of the father's arms and doing it myself. I'm not supposed to be doing that. If the father's chiyuv, if and when the father's partner doesn't do it, so then the chiyuv of Beis Din kicks in. So it could be that the machlokes between the Arzaru and the Ramah, for the two ways of reading the Rosh, is the Shlichus Ramiyah, the Rosh Shlichus Ramiyah, that Machloikas may not be a Shlichus Machloikas, that may be a Mila Machloikas. And everybody may agree to this, you say, that there's no Shlichus when the Shaliach himself is a Oisitash. When the Shaliach himself is getting credit for the Mitzvah is not Mitzvah, it's back to the Shaliach. That's good for the Machloikas as to is there really Chiva based in or not. The Chiyagat, like the father wants it, the father's got told the Shaliach. So it could be that this Shaila that we're having now
So we know there's a machlokes. We know that there's a mysterious Rosh Chulin that the Shachar is one way and the Ktzeis is another way. We know there's a Ruah that the documentation here are there that disagrees with. So we know on the books there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, a Shaila, something in the Rishonim, is the Shulchan Bavil or not. But the Kudus of machlokes, we're not aware of it. The Kudus of machlokes, we're not really crystal clear what is the Kudus of machlokes. So one way of reading the Kudus of machlokes is it's a machlokes in Hilchos. Mitzvah Shibbutz, how to define Mitzvah, sometimes it's read verses themselves. The second way of learning Pshat in the Machlokes is that the Machlokes in the Shlichus is a new Yisrael, the Shlichus Karat, you can't have Shlichus when the Shlich himself is Zoich in the Mitzvah. Or the third view of the Machlokes is that it's not a Machlokes neither in Mitzvah Shibbutz, nor in this new Yisrael of Shlichus, which is right before Yalma. It's a machloikas in Uchaz Mila, machloikas in Kedushin Chav Kef, it's not a machloikas in Kedushin Ramal. Same as Sechta, wrong daf, wrong parak. It's a machloikas in Uchaz Mila, namely, why do we view the relationship, the lack thereof, between the chiv of the father and the chiv of the baby? Do we say, every time there's a baby boy that's born, so there's a chiv that's chal on the father and the baby in the Vasachas? Just that the father is kedima to the baby? When you say no, that the chiv is not chal on the basin, the chiv hagav, that the father is willing to take care of it. The chiv on the basin is only chal, the chiv hagav, the father doesn't want to take care of it. So maybe that's the reason for my point of view, about Shlichus Bavila. So we'll have to stop now. Hopefully on Sunday I want to wrap up with the wrap up in terms of the loose ends about Shlichus Bavila. And then to see how this Machlokes place is really itself may play out in terms of other possible controversial mitzvahs, which may not be relevant in terms of being labeled as a mitzvah. I'll talk a little bit more about the principle of shlichus when mitzvah shabbatufa as relates to other angles in terms of shlichus. There's a certain nekuda about Er Miklat that we can derive, as we mentioned earlier this week, we don't have real Er Miklat articles about that. But there's a certain, I think, important Pesachas that we can derive from Er Miklat, something for all of us really to be a little bit more discerning. It's a strange thing that a person does in this Aver B'Shoigeg, he can kill somebody B'Shoigeg, and then his whole life has changed, and he has to go run off to Er Miklat. End of the day, it really wasn't his fault. He really didn't need to get his axe handled and his axe blade should fly. And the whole purpose of the Er Miklat, we mentioned earlier in the week, that there are two purposes of the Er Miklat. So Er Miklat is supposed to be protection from the Galadab, and the Er Miklat is also supposed to be a kapara, a galus as a mechata for Zavira. So there's a third aspect of the Er Miklat. And it's obvious from the fact that the Torah chooses to be the inhabitants of the Er Miklat. So sometimes we think, who lives in the Er Miklat? All the guys whose axe handles were loose. All the rites of the Shkol children, they're the guys that make up for being in the Er Miklat. That's clearly not the case. The Er Miklat, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Maase, the Er Miklat were what? Or in the Levim. They were the same as the Er Levim. So what the Torah chose, all the Torah was interested in was protecting this guy. And all the Torah was interested in was sending this guy to Golos. So the Torah should have made a city called the Er Miklat. All the rites of the Shemi go, they have a miserable life together. They're all betrothed, but they're all safe. The National Guard's standing around protecting them, they're all safe. And what do you send them down for the Ariel Levine? So it's clear that the Torah is trying to tell us that there's a third reason for the din of Er Miklat, not just for protection, not just as a kafara, but as a tikkun. That the Er Miklat is supposed to be the sap game, but the chisaron wasn't the first one to cap this guy to be. So what got this person to the Er Miklat in the first place? So it was a lack of zehirus. It was a lack of care. So it was a lack of care of doing things that are dangerous. The person did something that was dangerous.
Chopping wood?
It was a dangerous occupation. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. That lack of sensitivity, knowing that you're involved in something that's physically dangerous, and not taking the extra time out of care to be careful, that's a problem. That's a chisaron. Now, where does that chisaron stem? Why is it that people sometimes are careless with things that are dangerous? You see a teenager, driving like a meshuggah, so they get a little bit annoyed, but somehow it's unacceptable. That doesn't shock you to see a 19-year-old kid driving crazy. But you see a 25-year-old woman with three kids in car seats in the back, weaving in and out of lanes and driving like a machine gun. Strikes you like she's almost crazy. Why is that true? Why is that? You see the 17-year-old kid right out of high school, driving at 90 miles an hour, so you think he's crazy, but you can half understand it. When you see the woman with three kids in the back driving crazy, why is that mind-boggling? The answer is that you would think that she would realize the significance of life. And three little kids in the back seat. So that in and of itself should be mechayev her that drive carefully. When you have something that's precious, when you have something that's really worth something, when you have a life, when life means something, so that in and of itself requires of you to take care of your life. I remember once there was this wine upstairs or something. There was a guy now look, well, Miami, you see people who are, not exactly maybe an Anshe Shulchan, and the person was buying a pack of cigarettes. The guy, the cashier, whatever, asked me, what are you smoking? When you're 20 years old, you're smoking so much. So the guy says, what do I care for? I have nothing to live for anyway. It's a big deal. So I'll die. That was a lot. So I'll die. So that's the most blessed example. If a person has something to live for, if a person needs something to a person, so the male, they'll take care of that child. They'll guard it. It's the most important gift that they have from their virtual level. So they'll guard it with the ultimate to heroes. An individual who didn't check the back of the axe to make sure that the handle is tight. The individual who knew that the inspection of his car expired 6 months ago, and his nose is braced somewhere, and he knows that his house is dangerous, and he knows that he's doing is dangerous, and it doesn't bother him to fix it, that's a chisaron that his appreciation of life. If life really meant something to him, so that he would be more careful with it, both for his own as well as for his neighbors. We send the person less to be able to the person who is lacking this sensitivity, this appreciation of the significance of life, when he send them to the Arya Levine. Who are the Levine? So the science sitting here in the Beis HaMikdash, the last of the doors, the Arya Mishpatech, the Atom, the Seraph, the Yisrael, the Yisrael, the Lamb, the Yisrael. Comes to Gemara, in the Seraph, in the very end of the third parak, it says, the person who doesn't learn Torah, the Chalim, the Gemara says, it can be Choshen al Shvich HaDamim. Why? If a person doesn't take into significance, a person doesn't appreciate time, a person who whittles away and wastes his own life, so it shows that life doesn't mean anything to him. So the Chalim, such a person can be chashed al shmich hazdam. You send an individual who doesn't appreciate life, you send him to those people whose whole calling is kihain chayin yirka menu. The Levine will teach him about how important each day is. The Levine will teach him about how important each second of the day is. The Levine will teach him about the Chai Olam means that every second in this world can be turned into the Chai Olam. That can become the tikkun for the person who didn't fix his acts. So this is something for us. People who are involved in Chai Olam, people who are entire life, it's Chai Olam, entire life. So it's a significant of the Torah each second. This is the chai of us, both in terms of appreciating ruchnias, the significance of life, and in terms of appreciating kachshmias, the significance of life. And sometimes it's something. Anyone here fall? Hopefully, nobody falls for that category of a 19-year-old driver who's driving 90 miles an hour. But I don't think sometimes with younger people, so you see that lack of sympathy, you see that lack of appreciation. You see that sometimes it's completely be cool to be not so sensitive to mamash and life or death. I think it's something that each and every one of us, both the rookies and the gashmis, have to work on. Yeah, the Torah dedicates five different parashiyas to the parashiyah of Ragitla. So the Torah is trying to tell us there are dinim of sosa dhamma that they set up, there are dinim of purposeful act, there are dinim of being careful, there are dinim of being nizah, there are dinim of taking care of a person's physical life, physical condition. If we wanted to have kind of other as well, I think this is important, Mr. Haskell, that each and every one of us can walk away from the parashiyah of Ragitla. That's right. Okay, so next Sunday, 11 to 12. Okay, everyone's Seder, Sunday's regular time, 9 o'clock, right? Okay, 9 o'clock, bright and early Sunday morning, and Shia from 11 to 12, and then check from 12 to 1. Okay, we're not ready for the next one.